The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data, it's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. You find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours.
When you partner with Axon, you immediately gain access to a full range of products and solutions designed to meet the complex needs of today's grower. We carry all major brands and sizes of tires and wheels. We specialize in large diameter wheels for large equipment. We have one of the largest OEM replacement wheel inventories in North America. Known for extreme flotation setups, duals, and triples, we have wheels for all makes and models of tractors, sprayers, combines, and grain carts. If we don't have the wheel in stock, we'll custom build, sandblast, and paint in-house. There isn't a more vast inventory in North America dedicated to helping dealers move more iron. With facilities on the West Coast and in the heart of the Midwest, leverage our 230,000 square feet of indoor inventory to solve any problem a grower may have. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast. I got John Womack and John Hoffman back on here again for part two of the podcast that we recorded. Had an audio issue to start with, so everything sounded fine. And now we go back and listen to it. It wasn't fine on my end, so I don't know if that's probably the better part of the podcast, not here being able to hear me talk, but. Got John Womack from Iron Solutions and John Hoffman from Atlantic and Southern on. Talk about what's going on in the world of the equipment thing out there. And really what we're going to do today is talk about John Womack. Going to talk a little bit about the guidebook and the specs that are in there and how we use those specs and how they look at it. And John Hoffman is going to talk about how he's used those throughout his career. But before we get too far into that, let's just introduce everybody real quick. John Hoffman, let's start with you first. You work at Atlantic Southern Equipment, and kind of give your background, what you do, and those kind of things.
Okay, sure. I've actually just had my 8th anniversary with Atlantic and Southern here a week or so ago. It's gone by fast, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. It's been a long career, but man, it's gone by fast. I first started working with the Iron Solutions guys. It would have been, back in the 80s. Nah, I mean, maybe early, late 80s, early 90s. Probably our, I was with the Agco at the time, the dealer systems or dealer development group, where we were just rolling out computers to the dealers and trying to explain to them what this devil box was that they were going to be using to order parts and such. We came out with a dealer portal, and we worked with Iron Solutions really close. At the time, we were selling the Challenger Business Systems, as was the Dealer Association, and there was a connection there with Iron Solutions too, or Iron Search for machine locator, I guess we called it, under the Agco world. We created basically a clone of Iron Search. At that point, that's when I first became aware of the guidebooks. Now, again, remember, I was on the side of the company. We were training dealers how to use these products. Wasn't actually using them on a day-to-day basis, but, you know, I was fairly familiar with how they go in and do it, but I did not realize the importance of what that data was giving to them. Anyway, I kind of ran that group for Agco until 2005, 2006, when I went to the field as a territory rep, first calling on the Caterpillar Challenger dealers, and then Massey, and then Challenger, and then Massey. And that went up through, I guess it would have been 2016, when right at 30 years, Agco decided they were going in a different direction. And there was several of us that were kind of asked to leave, which for me was not a bad move. Matter of fact, it was probably a good move, because the very next day, the guys from Atlantic and Southern called me and said, "Hey, when you're ready to go back to work, just let us know." And I said, "Well, what am I going to do?" And they said, "Well, remember all those things you've been telling us we need to do from as being our territory manager? Well, now you got to come in and do it." So used equipment was a mess. They were relatively new. I say they, we now, Atlantic and Southern, had good salesmen, you know, had good facilities. The one thing they didn't have was a good way to evaluate machines. It was the salesmen that were putting the trade values on them. And I think that pretty much makes everybody cringe that's done any used equipment management at all. Yeah. I mean, they all mean well, of course, but there's a lot more to it than that. You know, when somebody says, "What's the secret?" The secret to me is just pay attention, focus on it. But that does mean you need tools. So anyway, there's the history. That's how I kind of got to where I am today. John, I'll leave it up to you as far as introduce yourself.
Right. Yeah. So, John Walmack, I've been with Iron Solutions for roughly 7 years. My first introduction, to the Iron Guide was actually inside of the, Machine Finder Pro, format. So I sold equipment and did GPS, for a John Deere dealer, for a little while, right when I graduated college. So, and then from there, pretty much came over here, and I started here as a data analyst, so basically right under the gentleman that used to manage this product before his retirement. And then so I trained underneath him for right around 5 years. And then after his retirement, I took over managing the Iron Guide about two and a half years ago. So ever since taking over, other than, you know, keeping the guide as accurate as possible. My main objective is getting feedback from our customers, you know, and asking them, you know, how do you use the guide? What's your perception of the guide? Is it helpful? What can we be doing to add more value to this product for you? And, you know, so because we are making a product for the dealer, so why not get the dealer involved in the product that we're making? And that has been my number one priority, since taking over, this product, is to get dealers involved, show them how we do it, what we do from point A to point quadruple Z, answer any questions that they might have, and, you know, also open up the conversation, there's plenty of dealers that have my cell phone number. And hey, if there's any time that you need to contact me to ask a question, please let me know, whether it's a, whether it's one of the five values that we give, or whether it's an option value, whether it's this, whether it's that, it doesn't necessarily matter what it is. If you have a question about something that's inside of my product, I need to know that you have that question so I can get the answer for you. Or if you would like to see something different, even, you know, if an option doesn't make sense to you and you would like to see us look at it a different way. That's the other side of it. But anyways, to roll that together, just very interested in dealer feedback, how they're using the product, how we can make it better. Because to John's point, you know, this the Iron Guide's been out there for a long time. And there's a lot of changes that have been implemented over time, but we have made some very big changes, I would say, in the probably the last five years, somewhere around in there. We've made some pretty major changes for the last, you know, 2 to 3 years. So I think it's very important for us to be reaching out and showing our customers the changes that we've made, because a lot of our customers haven't realized the changes that we made. They think it's the same old Iron Guide that it's always been. And that's not necessarily the case. So, but I know we're going to get into that a little bit more here in just a second.
Right on. All right. So let's talk about the specs. All right. So I think that is a huge point of contention when you start looking at any evaluation that you do. Doesn't matter what the piece of equipment is. What's a set of duals worth? What is four-wheel drive worth? What is, you know, you go right on the list, right? What are front duals worth on a row crop tractor? I mean, like, what's that mean? I think some of the advantage that you get by looking at the guidebook when you're going through that is the guidebook has the actual price pages from the manufacturers. So you have that option to look at there too, and you can start looking at what those are, kind of how those play out and how they depreciate through and the sold reports that come through. So John, talk a little bit about how you get that information from those price books, right? And then how you make the sausage when it comes to figuring out what those specs are worth.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we will do is we will start with the manufacturer price pages. And that is what we do for all of our pricing, our standard specs, as well as our options, option descriptions, option values, and as well as our serial number breaks. If we do not have manufacturer price pages or serial numbers with a manufacturer letterhead on them, they will not go in the guide. I am very stringent upon what goes in the guide and what does not go in the guide. Because at the end of the day, it's, you know, iron solutions, not iron confusions. So if I do not have a letterhead or something from an OEM to back up what we're putting out there, I don't have a leg to stand on. If Mr. John Hoffman here decides to give me a call and say, hey, what about this? You know, what about this serial number on this tractor? You know, I'm trying to get an evaluation on this. You know, I know that Atlantic and Southern is an AGCO dealer, but say you're taking a trade on a John Deere, you know, or something like that, and you're trying to identify that year break. If it doesn't make sense, you know, to you, then you could end up, you know, choosing the wrong year model. You could end up doing this. You could end up doing that, which would give you the wrong value, which means you're operating under false pretense. And that is not something that we even want to go down that route. So like I said, if I do not have concrete proof that this is true data, from the OEM, it will not go in that guide. Not to say that we might not make a fat finger, error from time to time, that has happened. But I would say probably 99.9% of the time, that's not an issue. So what we'll do is we'll start with those manufacturer price pages. We will input those options into our database. And then from there, as the machine, the base machine depreciates over time, so the options go with it. So in the option pricing that we start with is the MSRP of the option, and then we start to depreciate it from there. So that's how we have the options, have the option pricing, you know, and everything like that. That's the reason why, you know, we can tell you what a set of duals are worth according to the price pages and how they should depreciate along with that machine. Same thing with a IVT transmission or an E23 transmission or you know, five hides compared to four hides, or a big pump compared to a small pump, you know, or something like that. Something that definitely differentiates us from, you know, anyone else in this space.
Okay. So John Hoffman, as you're looking at that, talk about the importance of valuing that stuff. Cause I've been in the same situation that you're in, where knowing what those specs are, number one, knowing what they're worth, number two, and making sure that you have the right stuff there. I guess, how are you using the spec value that you have, and how are you using the information that you've got to better evaluate the equipment based on what you see in the guidebook?
Sure. I'm actually going to look at it going backwards in time here to right now. It is extremely important daily. You know, we've got 12 salesmen. They're constantly, you know, presenting trades. You're trying to figure out, you know, making sure they're doing all the right inspections and providing all the right information. Because today, you know, everything's so complicated, but you want to have that go-to. So for me, the go-to is the guidebooks. I mean, I use other pieces of it, but to me, that's the most important part today. Now, has it always been that way? No. You know, it wasn't that long ago. Again, remember, my history started out talking to dealers that had never seen a computer system and hearing about this Iron Solutions guidebooks thing. And then the next step was I went out and started calling on dealers and seeing them using this Iron Solutions guidebook thing. You know, and you hear comments, it's not that great, or it's that great. And I remember, this is 15 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe. All the way to the point when I joined Atlantic and Southern and okay, now you're the used equipment person. You need to put the values on them. So I'm starting to really dig into this. And even when I started to use it every day, there was a lot of, in my mind, there's still a lot of confusion questions that came up. There were some people to ask, but you know, you still had kind of a, well, this dealer didn't use it that often. This dealer did. But again, in my mind, I still wasn't a true believer, I guess, hadn't drank the Kool-Aid at the time. Probably what really has opened up my mind and basically made me realize the importance of it is when I was invited to you know, join a group of other dealers, you know, that were working with Iron Solutions. And the nice part about that was I got to meet dealers of other brands. I got to meet John, you know, some of the other newer Iron Solutions folks. Remember, the ones I remembered probably retired 10 or 15 years ago. But again, the good part of that was, and it goes back to John mentioning it, wanting to know what the customers feel. I now had a pipeline where I could talk to John or I could talk to somebody else. If I was looking at the guidebooks and I saw something in my mind was just not right, I'd call him and we'd debate it. It wasn't really a debate. It was a conversation back and forth. I mean, I always left with the impression that he'd say, well, if I'm going to look at it, I knew he was going to look at it. And then he'd probably call me and ask me two or three questions. And I'd say, God, just do it on your own, man. I'm not going to answer your questions for you. But no, they do want to know what the customers feel. So again, all that leading up to today, I'm a true believer. You know, I talk to other dealers, you know, some may want to use a, you know, rough trade value. Some may want to use a wholesale value. That's fine. The thing is, you can go to one place and get all the values and then make your own management decision. So, again, as far as right now, I'm very confident that, you know, John is presenting the data very accurately. Of course, you know, if it is a different brand trade, you know, I still got to do some of the homework. I got to find the specs. So I go in there and I start plugging them in. You know, I do believe the values are there if I feed the right specs to him. If I don't give them the right specs, I mean, the value is a hit and miss, right? The tool can only spit out what you feed into it. So right now, all the way from, you know, the beginning to today, I'll say it again. This is not your father's Iron Solutions. I mean, this thing has come, I don't even want to say full circle because it's been very linear. I mean, it's been headed this direction the whole time. And I see some of the more recent things that they're coming out with. And I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, I can't wait to try some of the new stuff. You know, they dangle it in front of you and start talking about it and says, I don't want to hear about it. I want to use it. So that's kind of where we're at today. It's a very important tool, probably a key tool in what I do as far as trade evaluation.
Yeah. Now, I would echo that. I think when you're looking at the values of a piece of equipment, you know, missing something either in either direction, whether you missed it because it's the wrong option or missed it because it's the right option, you didn't add it to it, completely changes the way you look at that piece of equipment, right? If you click the wrong button and you add 20 grand worth of value to it, that's a problem. And if you don't, and you wonder why you could miss the deal because you didn't have the right information and you put the wrong amount of money, you didn't give enough for the trade, or you didn't, you put too much in the trade. You know, and there's all those things that come into play. Those spec options are such a key part of what that looks like. And also when you start looking at it from, let's just talk the dollars and cents side of this too. If you're talking about, you know, loan value, you talk about lease values and all those things that come into play, those specs play a big option or a big part in what that actual value of that machine is worth when it comes time to go down the loan part for the customer. So, you know, John Womack, when you're looking at how those things come together, talk about when you're looking at the value. So talk about how the value part of that though. So, you know, you got the price pages part of it, but I'm looking at a 10-year-old machine. I can still look and see what four-wheel drive is worth on a whatever combine or whatever I'm looking at. Talk about how you value that 10 years down the road and how you come up with that value.
Yeah. So at the beginning of the machine, of course we have, you know, we have the MSRP of the machine because we have the price pages for that machine going back to, you know, the 60s on it. I mean, realistically the 60s on some stuff. So, you know, if it's a 10-year-old combine, we had the starting MSRP of that machine, and we had the starting MSRP of the option. And as the machine depreciates, the option value goes with it. So if we apply that option, and this is another conversation, but if we apply that option and then we're applying, you know, the usage adjustment as well as the reconditioning that's involved with that, you know, with that 10-year-old combine, then the majority of the time, maybe not every time, there's definitely some more work that we could be doing with our option values on some stuff. There's always more work to be done. Nothing's ever foolproof. The main thing is that we're continuing to work, you know, to work in that direction, I guess you could say. But you know, if we're selecting the option correctly, and then we're applying the reconditioning to the machine correctly, to the trade value correctly, and then we are doing the usage adjustment on there, I would say the majority of time it should get you in the ballpark of where you should go. Because when you start talking about a combine, let's just say you got a 10-year-old combine that's got 2,000 separator hours on it, 2,200, 2,300 separator hours on it. Even if it's less than that, when it gets that old, it really comes down to the condition of the machine. You know, what condition are the tires in? What condition is the feeder house in? Does the feeder house have holes in it? You know, so on and so forth. So that's really where the recon comes into play. Because if the machine needs $30,000 to $40,000 of recon, and you only take the average recon on that machine, which is nowhere close to $30,000 or $40,000, then you're missing that boat too. So John, it's kind of like what you were saying is you have to feed into the tool. You have to feed the data into the tool in order for the tool to give you the correct value. And if you're missing, you know, a $30,000 or $40,000 usage adjustment, well, it's exactly the same thing as missing a $30,000 or $40,000 option. You're gonna miss that in your trade evaluation every single time that you don't put it inside of the tool. You know, so, yeah. So we depreciate the option values right along with the machine, but there are other attributes that, you know, that need to be fed into that into the tool in order for the value to be correct.
So John Hoffman, John kind of hit me, got ahead of me there a little bit when you started talking about recon, because that was my next question I was going to ask you about. But no, that's fine. When I was used equipment guy, that was the one thing that you could sync a trade faster than anything, right? You bring something in and you put $3,500 worth of recon in it and then get it on the lot and it needs, you know, $5,000 worth of recon, or you put $5,000 worth of worth in there and it only needs, you know, $1,500, then that's a whole nother scenario there to work through. As you look at those average guide values, because that was always one thing I always thought was somewhat helpful, kind of to give you that idea of like, hey, you know, other dealers are reporting that they spent X dollars worth of recon when it came in. John Hoffman, when you're looking at that, how are you using that recon budget of sorts, that average recon value, and how you doing that with your system at Atlantic and Southern?
Well, I think it is important, but remember that it's only as good as the data.
Sure.
You know, I know John has some great resources to pull in the price books and the you know new data and old data, but it really comes back to the dealer responsibility of do your reporting. I mean, drive your own destiny here. I mean, John and I talk about this all the time. You know, it's if I'm calling about a certain tractor model or whatever, I'm like, well, you know, do you have a lot of data on it? I mean, has people been reporting it? You know, what are some of the average reconditioning costs? And it makes a huge difference, I'm sure, on his end, if it's a, you know, large, you know, let's just use John Deere for an example. I'm sure there's a lot of dealers that report a lot of data. I mean, that gives John a wonderful amount of a wealth of information to use. If it comes back around and he says, well, there's only been, you know, three AGCO dealers that reported data on that piece of equipment and only two of them filled in the right specs or complete specs. I mean, he's got a real handicap there. I mean, he's basically having to do, you know, some work based on two units. I mean, so when I look at that, I actually feel the reconditioning costs and such when I'm taking a John Deere trade, for example, I know there's good data out there. And I know I'm probably much more confident with the reconditioning costs that he would present for those than I am with some of the AGCO products, because I just know there's not enough AGCO dealers reporting. And, you know, John's actually trained me. You know, when we start talking about this, I'm like, well, how can we get more data? And he says, it's not just the data. It's you got to fill in the specs. You know, you got to make sure the hours are correct. I mean, you got to really give it, you get out of it what you get into it or put into it. So it's the reconditioning part of it only comes from what dealers report.
Right.
And if there's AGCO dealers that are listening to this, you know, I want you to report because I want your information. You know, I want to be able to use it, and I'm happy to provide mine. And like I said, John has been educating me, you know, when you do it, you got to report this. So I've kind of changed things. I used to have a person that did it for us. Well, now I have that person give it to me, and I go through every unit to make sure I plug in all the rest of the pieces that might not have just come out, you know, when you do a report out of a computer system. So again, I'm doing my part, you know, and whenever I'm talking to other dealers, I'm suggesting that they do their part, because that data is what's going to drive that reconditioning cost, you know, which again, that's a great tool if you can rely on it.
Right.
And, you know, some products I can more than others, but again, it's all kind of part of the whole thing. It's getting better, but we just have to keep pushing it. And like I said, this is as much on us as anyone. I mean, the dealers have to give good data.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about that, John, from the perspective of the amount of information that you get. All of that comes from dealer reports, right? So these aren't numbers you're pulling out of the air. These aren't just your guests, or you're not out looking at websites trying to figure out what's going on. These are just hard and fast data coming from what people are reporting that they sold stuff for. So talk a little bit about the number of reports that you get, and then how do you use those reports? Because not all reports are worth the same amount of, you know, they don't weigh the same, right? So when you're looking at those reports, how do you pick which ones you're going
to
use?
Yeah, so first of all, to answer your question of like how many data points are we looking at on an annual basis? So we look at everything from a rolling 12 months. We don't look at anything on our averages that is older than that, because we don't consider it relevant data. So in any given year, of course this fluctuates a little bit, but you know, we'll be looking at anywhere between 185,000 to 195,000, 200,000 pieces of sold data per year throughout North America, so the U.S. and Canada. And to put a dollar amount on that, we're talking somewhere between, let's say just on sold data, we're talking somewhere between $15 to $17 billion, billion with a B. Somewhere between in there, like I said, it does fluctuate, you know, year over year for inventory levels and, you know, and stuff like that. So, so what do we do with it when we get it? So, anyone that's ever talked to me for a very long period of time, when we get into data, it is, you know, I've always said is like, yes, it matters, the data points that you have, but most importantly, what are you doing with the data once you get it? Because if we're just taking this data in and we're just spitting out averages of the data that we're getting, that doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help anyone understand anything. So when we take a sold report in, let's just say that we've got three dealers that have submitted three of the same combines to us. Let's just say it's a John Deere dealer. We've been talking about John Deere. We'll keep going with John Deere. So let's just say that they've submitted three S780 John Deere combines. The year can be the same, the usage can be the same, but if the options are different, then of course the overall value of that machine is going to be different. You might have some that have, you know, $20,000 worth of options. You might have some that have $100,000 worth of options, or even north of that. So you have to account for those options, just like we do in the guide. So this is when we head into our, what we call our normalization process. So inside of there, you know, John hit on this a little bit of what we're checking our reporting for. So we're checking it for the correct type, make, model, year. The majority of the time we can get that through a serial number. A lot of times dealers will send us a serial number. And like I said, we get serial number breaks directly from the OEM. So we will check that serial number break in there. To make sure that's the right year. Then we're going to check it for usage, and then we're going to check it for options. If the report does not have that criteria, that report is deleted. And the reason why that is like, this is going to open up another can of worms here, Casey, but we have a comps tool that where you can go in there and you can see comparable sales from dealers. Now, we don't tell you the dealer's name. We don't give you the serial number, so you can go look it up to see if your neighboring dealer sold it, so you can try to, you know, do this or do that, whatever you want to do with that data. But we do tell you what it sold for. We tell you the specs that's on it. We tell you the usage that's on it, and we tell you the area in which it sold. Now, we can't do that if we don't have that data. So therefore, we delete it. We delete that sold report if it doesn't have those things. So further, my team will go in there and start pricing out those options. So another thing that they're doing there too is updating the description in which the option that was sent to us. So let's just say that one dealer on the combine says that it's four-wheel drive. The other one says that it's power rear assist. And the other one says that it's power rear axle. Well, that's three different variations of the exact same option. And when you're searching for that combine with that option inside of our comps tool, wouldn't it be nice if you can just search for one option, one way? So that's what my team does, is they will actually say four-wheel drive means this guide option. So they will take out that verbiage. They will add that guide option in there. So it is a direct apples-to-apples comparison when you pull the comparable data inside of our comparables tool inside of Iron Guides. So, but when they are pricing those options out, what are they doing? They're trying to get the model down to the base model of machine. So why are we doing that? Like, it's like I just said before, you might have a machine that has $20,000 worth of options, and you might have another one that has $100,000 worth of options. How can we understand the trajectory of where the market's going for that one machine if there's an $80,000 split in options? Well, the only way that you can do that is if you take the options out of the picture. And that's exactly what we do when we're talking about normalizing the data. We're taking the options completely out of the picture, and we're bringing that cash value down to a base model the best that we can, so we can understand where the market's actually going. And while we're doing that, we're cleaning up the descriptions and all of the verbiage that's inside of that sold report that was sent to us by the dealer. That way, when we put it inside of our comp tool, it will lead you to actionable insights, which is that's exactly what we want to do. We want to give you as much data as we possibly can in order for you to make the best decision that you possibly can, the fastest that you can.
Those are all, and that's why data is so important. So I love data. Data is my, I mean, it's just, you can't, data never lies. So, you know, John Hoffman, when you're looking at data points, what are two or three things that you really pay attention to kind of, you know, across the entire platform of used equipment? What are the two or three things that you're really, when you're making a decision on what something's worth, how are you measuring that data and what data and how do you pick the data that you use?
Well, that's a good question. If you want to look at, you know, what are those key points that, you know, make the most difference, you know, again, probably transmissions. You know, we've got to be accurate on our transmissions. Right. That's a big one. I always look at tires. You know, that can be a huge, or belts for belted tractors. I mean, if
that's the a machine big may run
just perfectly, but if you're sitting there looking at you know, $20,000 to $40,000 worth of tires or belts, it's huge. But you really got to pay attention to that, you know, because, and again, that's one of the things a customer's going to look at. I mean, they may see some pictures of a tractor, and the only thing that draws their attention is the
worn-out tires on it.
But then just the overall condition. And that's huge. You can tell if something's been taken care of. Plus, you know, that's a key point that, you know, I'm always harping on our salesman or who's ever doing the evaluation for me. I always say treat it like it's a trade that you're going to turn around and sell to your grandma. I mean, is this a trade you'd sell to your grandma? Well, describe it as such. If it's one that, I don't know. Well, then make sure you tell me that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, everybody wants more value so they can go to the customer at a lesser price, but
sure.
You know, they've got to understand that the next step after they take the trade is they got to sell the trade. So, the specs, the condition, some of those key features that add up to a lot of money, those are probably the things that I pay attention to most. I'm not sure if that answers the question specifically, but you know, that's what I pay attention to.
Yeah. No, those are all good things when you're looking at just that in general. Like tires didn't used to be such a big deal, but now, I mean, you're talking, you can rebuild an engine or get new tires, take your pick. Yep. You know what I mean? It's about that expensive. So that tire thing makes a big deal, and there's shadows and everything else that make 20% tire or 40% tires look like 70% tires. You gotta really get those measurements in there. So those are all key things. So, well, guys, I think that's probably a good place to stop. John Hoffman, any final thoughts you want to throw out there before we close things down?
I would just suggest that, again, if there's some dealers out there that haven't given it a good shake, or like you said, if they haven't tried it for a while, I'd give it a shot. You know, now is the time to jump back into it, because if you're not familiar with it, I'm talking the guidebooks here. If you haven't used it recently, and again, I have heard talk to some people that just said, "Nah, we don't use that." Well, I'd highly recommend that they do. Give it a shot. You know, try it. If it still doesn't work for you, fine. But I think you'll find that, again, it's not your father's guidebooks. There's a lot of different things out there, a lot of new things, and a lot of really accurate data that can certainly help you make those decisions. I would never trust John Womack to make my decisions for me, but I will use the data that he collects as a good directional valuation tool. So no offense, John.
That's not a very nice thing to say. I'm kidding. No, I mean, and that's, you know, definitely appreciate that, John. You know, I mean, it's another thing that I've always said is that there's not a single person within Iron Solutions that knows a dealer's AOR better than they do. That is not the case. And if anybody ever says that, then they're lying straight to your face. And I'll just tell them flat out that they are. Because there's no way that I can tell a dealer anywhere, you know, and be able to pinpoint exactly, you know, what something's going to be at any given time or anything like that. Why? Because I'm not in that area of responsibility. But what are we trying to do? We're trying to, you know, give you some sort of go-to handbook to have a good place to start And then you start to think about, well, okay, so this front axle doesn't necessarily sell the best in my area. The guidebook's only giving me, you know, a $10,000 deduct for it, but you know, in my opinion, it's probably more like 15 or 20. Well, then you take another 15, you know, or another 10 or whatever that is out of that model. This is not meant to replace someone doing their own research, you know, or anything like that. Like I said, we are, you know, we're not here to try to, you know, tell a dealer that we know more about their AOR, or their client base, or anything like that, than they do. This is not meant to replace someone that understands equipment. But we're just trying to give you the most accurate information that we possibly can. You know, and we do that through our guidebook. We do have some paper. We do still produce some paper books. Mm-hmm. The latest one that we came out with. Oh, this is probably 2 or 3 years old now. We update it twice a year. It's our serial number handbook. So we were talking about serial numbers there and where they come from. So that's, you know,
serial number.
Yeah. See, John's got a copy of it right there.
Right next to me.
Yeah, John keeps it. You know, and a lot of guys have told me it's something nice kind of keeping the truck with them if they're trying to just find a quick, you know, a quick year model on something before they go back and evaluate it. It's there. So all of the serial number breaks that we get from OEMs are inside of that book. So it's a good, you know, it's a good thing to keep with you. And you know, anyone that's listening, if you do want to get a copy of it, you know, give us a call. You can shoot me an email. You know, and then we'll get you one. We're actually going to come out with a new copy of it in 1 month, actually 1 month, to the day. So April 1st is when we produce the first edition of the 2024, serial number guide. So we'll have all of that data in there. But, you know, last but not least, the other thing that I would like to say is, you know, this is a guide. It's not a gospel. You know, maybe sometime in the past, someone might have tried to say it was a gospel, but I'm the one that manages the whole process, and I will flat out tell you, this is a guide. That's what it's here to be used for. It's not gospel. Like I said before, this is not here to replace someone at a dealership or anything like that. It's here to make their life easier. That's what it's there for. And also, like John was saying, if you come across something that you don't understand, or you have a question, or how did we get here? How did we get there? You know, John actually started out with emailing me, and then a lot of our conversations end up in phone calls, and I got to make sure that I section off about an hour and a half of my day if John Hoffman decides he's going to give me a call, because
it's never a quick call.
It's never a quick call, but there's a lot of good conversations that's in there, and I always learn something from every single customer that I talk to. So any customer that wants to give me a call or shoot me an email, I'm definitely open to it.
Right on. Well, John, how do they do that? How do the folks want to reach out to you? How do they do that?
So like I said, let's just start with an email. You can email me at John, J-O-N. Last name is Womack, W-O-M-M-A-C-K. So John Womack at RandallReilly.com. And then, like I said, the majority of the time, I'll just email you back and say, hey, you know, do you have a phone number I can contact you at? We can talk about it. We can run through some examples. If you want to end up in a Zoom call and I can share the tool with you there, that's totally fine as well. If we think it would be good for me to just come and visit with you and me sit right across from you, I'm definitely open to that as well. So anything I can do to service our customers and answer their questions, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm here for. It's my job. And I always try to do my job to the absolute fullest extent. So
right on. And John Hoffman, if folks want to reach out to you, what's the easiest way to do that?
Come see me. Okay. Yeah, that'd be nice.
It's hard to
find your address, John.
It is. I will say it is. And I'm traveling a lot throughout the Southeast, but no, I think email would be great. I'd love to hear from other dealers. I'd love to give them my opinion. As you know, I have opinions, and I'll give them. But my email is John, J-O-H-N, John, period, Hoffman. And this may sound familiar. It's H-O-F-F-M-A-N-N. Don't forget that second N, or it's going to bounce right back to you, at Atlantic, spell it out. It's long, AtlanticandSouthern.com. So I'd be more than happy to respond to anybody. And again, I can do the same thing. If they want a phone number, I'll give them a phone number and we'll just go from there. So especially if you've got suggestions, if you got complaints, but if I always tell my, as I always tell my people, don't come to me with a problem. Come to me with an answer.
Come to me with a solution.
Right. You know, come with a solution. That's the big thing. And I love that. I love that.
Right on. Okay. Well, guys, appreciate you being on the podcast and we'll, catch you guys here again. Not very long from now. We'll catch up with each other. John Hoffman, you've been to the Moving Iron Summit once or twice now, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Talk a little bit about that. When you go there, what do you like about it?
I like to meet other dealers. I like to catch up with other dealers that I've already met. It's kind of a little fraternity now, I think.
Feels like that.
Right. It does feel like that. And sometimes you wake up in the morning thinking, why did I act like a fraternity kid? I'm old now. But you can get, I love the fact that you can walk around between sessions and talk to different, vendors, about different products. I mean, that's just awesome because there's always something that you're just has been bugging you. You want information. And that's one point you can go and, okay, there's the people I need to talk to. But again, the seminars are really good. You know, if there's always something on that selection of classes where you say, you know what, I need to know more about these things. So again, I like it all. You know, there's different parts of it provide different, solutions, I guess, for me. I just say anybody that comes to it, you're going to find your own benefits, but give it a try. If you haven't been there, sign up, show up.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming, John, and hope to see you again here in November. So it'll be a good time. John Womack and his crew will be there as part of the Moving Iron Summit, and they'll have their booth space there, and they'll be giving their demos and whatnot to people as they come around. And like John does best, he'll be talking to folks and asking them, how can we make this better? So looking forward to that again. So, guys, appreciate you being on, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Casey.
Very good. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, John.
All right. So with that, I'm Casey Seymour, Moving Iron Podcast. You can check me out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can go to LinkedIn at Moving Iron Podcast. You can also check out the video version of the podcast over on the YouTube channel, which is the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel. And make sure you check us out on TikTok and Snapchat at Moving Iron Podcast as well. Go to MovingIronLLC.com. Got a brand new website up there with all the information that you need to have for everything Moving Iron related. You get the information for the Moving Iron Summit coming up here November 4th through the 6th. All the information will be up there shortly. And you can start registering for that. Looks like John said, if you are listening to this and you want to come, there's a lot of great networking opportunities, a lot of great opportunities to catch up with some vendors as well. So it will be a good deal again. So with that, I'm Casey Seymour with John Hoffman and John Womack. Let's go move some iron, folks. The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately? Target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer, then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data, it's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads. D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers. Market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. Find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here.